Believe it or not, I think I'm actually the most excited about this sermon in the whole of the book of Numbers. Like, I'm really excited for this. I hope you can see why I'm excited as we go through it. Because they're here, right? They're on the borders of the promised land. And finally, we get to the place where God is saying, you are going to give borders. This is where they have been. Here are the borders of the promised land. But the thing is, between chapters 33 and 34, we actually don't know where almost any of these places are. Well, so what do we do with that? What significance does chapter 33 and chapter 34 have, other than just sort of it seems to be its primary purpose to be chronological and just detail? Well, I think there's something really amazing that we see here. In chapter 33, if we were to read all of Numbers chapter 33, we would find 42 stops, 42 stages in the journey. We could count them, but or you can count them if you don't trust me, but there are 42. And not only that, but it lists them in three sets of 14. The first 14, we read all of those, include a bit more detail, right? Things like there were palm trees there, or they marched out defiantly in full view of the Egyptians. The first 14 are like that. The next 14 are just boom, 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 one after the other. And then the last 14, again, offer a little bit more detail to what they did. Total of 42. So I want to spend some time tonight thinking about that number 42. And I find it absolutely mind-boggling. Now, I want to be up front. Sometimes when people start doing things with numbers in the Bible, I go, seriously? Right? We can sometimes make numbers fit whatever we want them to. But I think we're going to see that there's something about this number 42 that's really worth exploring. So let's start with the number 42 itself, right? There are 42 stops. In Hebrew, if you want to write the number 42, you use two Hebrew letters, mem and bet. Mem is what you would use to write 40, and bet is the letter that you would use to write 2. Mem, bet is 42. And in Jewish thought, the number 42, mem, bet, came to be understood as a symbol of all that God had commanded, the written and oral Torah. Well, what do we mean by that? So if you were to look in, say, Exodus chapter 24, oops, I'm in 26, there we go. Exodus 24, verse 12, for instance. The Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and commandments I have written for their instruction. Right? Sometimes in the Old Testament, there is law and commandments, Torah and mitzvot. And generally, what Jewish thought came to understand was that the Torah referred to all the first five books of the Bible, the law, and the commandments referred particularly to those things that God gave to Moses verbally at Mount Sinai. And so if you wanted to speak of everything of God's revelation, the whole story of God's covenant, you would speak of the law and the commandments, Torah, v'mitzvot. Well, Torah, right, the first five books of the Bible, the very first one is Genesis, which in Hebrew is Bereshit. And so rather than referring to the Torah symbolically by that letter Tau, in Jewish thought, you would use the letter Beit to refer to the Torah for Bereshit, the book of Genesis, in order to encapsulate the whole of the first five books of the Bible, the Torah. And then, of course, law and commandments, mitzvot, would be mem. And so, Bet Mem, 42, became a way to symbolically describe the full story of God's faithfulness, all the law and the commandments. So one of the things that's happening here with these 42 stages, I think, is saying that this is standing in for the whole story of God's people, for the law of God and the story of who they are and where they've been, for God's enduring faithfulness. So let's keep that in the back of our minds as we keep thinking about this number 42. In Numbers chapter 22 and chapter 23, excuse me, chapter 23 and 24, every time Balaam is about to pronounce one of his oracles, Balak, the king of Moab, who hired him to curse Israel, Balak makes sacrifices. He makes three sets of sacrifices. And each time he offers 14 animals. 14, 14, 14, for a total of 42 sacrifices. So think about what we saw when we walked through that whole story of Balak and Balaam. We saw the enduring faithfulness of God. We saw Balak's attempts to overthrow God's covenantal promises, those covenantal promises contained within the written and oral Torah, that they cannot be undone. Balak's 42 sacrifices are not enough to override God's faithfulness. And now we have the answer to Balak's 42 sacrifices, the 42 stops of God's people, the reminder of God's faithfulness. 42 sacrifices undone by 42 stages of the journey, 42 symbolizing the full story of God, the written and oral Torah, speaking to God's enduring faithfulness because God's enduring faithfulness overrode Balak's 42 sacrifices. Which then brings us into chapter 34, right? Chapter 34 is all about the inheritance of the land, the borders of the promised land. And this is what we saw last week. When we think about the inheritance of the land and entering into the promised land, what we are seeing is the fulfillment of the promise of the covenant. God's enduring faithfulness is coming to fruition in the form of giving them the land that God promised them generations ago. Chapter 34 is God's faithfulness, God's covenantal promises, God's written and oral Torah coming to pass in the inheritance of the land. And we're going to see that play itself out more in chapters 35 and especially chapter 36 in 2 weeks. God's promises are fulfilled. God's faithfulness cannot be undone. God is enduringly faithful. It's 42. Oral and written Torah, the full story of God. 42 sacrifices of Balak can't undo the faithfulness of God. 42 stages in the journey. God is faithful such that the next thing that happens is that God fulfills those covenant promises. Well, let's keep going. We're going to jump somewhere that's maybe a little unexpected. But we're going to jump to Psalm 100. Right, we often read Psalm 100 at Thanksgiving. It's a beautiful psalm of thanksgiving. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. And then verse 5, right, concludes it. Verse 5 gives us the reason for why we are to be grateful to God. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness. And by now, having worked our way through the book of Numbers, we know that when we see love and faithfulness together, that's that Hebrew word chesed, which is God's covenantal faithfulness. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Why do we give thanks to God? Because of God's covenantal faithfulness. The same theme we've seen throughout the book of Numbers, the promise that God will keep God's promises, and God's faithfulness continues through all generations. So even though you don't know Hebrew, at least most of us don't, if I were to ask you, how many words do you suppose Psalm 100 is in Hebrew? Anybody want to hazard a guess? 42. That's right. The faithfulness of God. God keeps God's promises. But we're not done yet. In fact, I think the coolest ones are yet to come. Jump ahead to Matthew chapter 1. The genealogy of Jesus. Abraham, or Abraham, the father of Isaac, Isaac, the father of Jacob, Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, and so on and so forth, generation to generation. Guess how many names? 42. Three sets of 14, once again. Anybody else just blown away by this? Because I am. I mean, I've spent all week thinking about this, and I'm still shocked by it. It's so cool. Right, Matthew's gospel is written to a Jewish audience, and Matthew wants to make sure that his Jewish audience knows that Jesus is the promised Messiah. He wants to make sure that his audience knows that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and prophets, that Jesus is the perfect Israelite. So what does he do? He arranges the genealogy in such a way to make it absolutely clear Jesus is the perfect Israelite. Just like Israel went through the wilderness in 42 stages. He is the perfect fulfillment of God's revelation, mem bat mitzvot bereshit. He is everything you've been waiting for. One more. We jump ahead to the very end of Scripture. It's Revelation. Revelation chapter 11, verse 2. In the book of Revelation, things are going haywire, right? There's these seals and there's all of these destruction and judgments. And then in Revelation chapter 11, verse 2, it says, go and measure the temple of God and the altar, but exclude the outer court. Do not measure because it's given to the Gentiles. They will trample on the city for 42 months. Same thing in Revelation 13, verse 5. A beast comes out of the sea, and this beast is given all sorts of power and authority. The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise its authority for 42 months. Now, as you can imagine, there's a ton we could say about the book of Revelation. We don't have time tonight to unpack everything that's going on there and to exegete exactly what the beast and the trampling of the temple and all that stuff is about. But that number 42 is important. Right, if we were to study the book of Revelation together, I would tell you never, ever take any number in the book of Revelation literally. Every number in the book of Revelation is a symbol of something. And 42 is no exception. So what's going on with 42? I think we see that even when things are falling apart, even when it seems as though evil has won, Jesus, the true Israelite, the perfect Messiah, is the King, and he is victorious. Even when it seems that evil has won, when it seems that the way things ought not to be, will be how they will be forever, we are reminded in the book of Revelation that evil is on a short leash. Even when it seems that all hell is breaking loose, quite literally in the book of Revelation, it is already defeated. Jesus, the perfect Messiah, the true King of all creation, the very Word of God, the perfect fulfillment of all God's covenant faithfulness, the one who demonstrates God's eternal faithfulness, is victorious even when it seems that all hope is lost. Jesus has already won the victory, and one day Jesus will win the final victory. This too shall pass. 42 stages on the journey. Mem, bet, mitzvot, bereshit, oral and written Torah. The full story of God. 42 sacrifices of Balak that cannot undo the faithfulness of God. 42 stages on the journey. God is with them and gives them the land and as an inheritance as promised. 42 words in Psalm 100 celebrating God's enduring faithfulness. 42 names in the genealogy of Jesus, the true King, the one who is the Messiah we have been waiting for, the one who will set the world to right, the one who is the perfect fulfillment of God's promises. 42 months, there is a limit on the evil that can be done. God is already victorious, as the story has been all the way back in the book of Numbers, even just as Balak's 42 sacrifices couldn't undo the faithfulness of God. These 42 months cannot undo the ultimate victory of Jesus Christ, who has already won and who will put everything under his feet. And to that, all I can say is amen. Let's pray. God, sometimes we are amazed by the ways that your word comes together in ways that we wouldn't expect. And we rejoice at the story of your victory, that your faithfulness cannot be undone, that your eternal victory is assured. And so, Heavenly Father, when we come face to face with the ways that the world is not the way it should be, remind us that evil is on a short leash. When we come face to face with our own fallenness, remind us of your grace through your perfect Messiah, the one who is the perfect fulfillment of all the law and commandments. When we come face to face with our own doubts, our own fears, our own anxieties, our own insecurities, remind us that you are and always have been and always will be faithful. Help us to live each and every day in the joy of that comfort. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said,